The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. We are the alpha male of radio. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle in our free 30-day ebook program to go right along with that. All you have to do is leave your email address, and you got one that makes you think and one that makes you take action. So take a look at both of those. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at the deepest vault anywhere out there. In a moment, we'll bring our good friend Rainer Wartell on here. Just look at all the shows I've done with Rainer, and I hope we're going to be doing a lot more this year because, as everybody knows, well, I'll make an announcement for him anyways. We're real proud of him. He's got his Highland Games. Basically, he's got his pro card, and he'll talk about that momentarily. But you know, the show's got an awful lot of different people in here, and whether it's by me or people coming in with recommendations, you know, like Clint Darden said, however you pull this off, it's amazing with everything and everyone you bring in here from all different styles of training. But if you've been paying attention a lot lately, stones are becoming more and more prevalent in here. I can't tell you how many people have written me and told me, if you even looked out on Facebook last weekend, the amount of people that are starting to become stone lifters off M&M. We had one gentleman, Steve. I mean, he brought it up. He showed everybody the plans. I mean, he built his first Husafell stone out of cement, you know, laid it all out, built it with wood as basically how he poured it into. And he's going to come on the show. Now, there's a guy that's been lifting 35 years. So, you know, we're getting them from everywhere. But, you know, we've had Stevie Shanks on. Martin Janzix is a regular here. In fact, he'll be in New Hampshire with Bill Crawford this month, and we're hoping to be able to get a three-way call when he's there. We got Charlie Blair Oliphant coming on from Scotland. We've got James Graham on. We're working on Terry Todd right now. And I'm hoping Stevie might be able to do it. Maybe we can even get his father, Jack Shanks, on, which would be incredible. We're still doing everything else, but we love the history of stones. We love the brutality of it, and it is a brotherhood. And these guys have thanked me tremendously that I am getting this out more and more. And it's not a problem because we want to do the best we can for everybody. So keep an eye out for all that stuff. Before I bring Rainer in, I'm going to just read something quickly. And I've been doing this for quite a while, and I'm getting extremely great feedback on it. It's called The Opinion of Others, A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections on and Off the Court. Wooden, Coach John Wooden with Steve Jamison. And the passage is called The Opinion of Others. Do not become too concerned about what others may think of you. Be very concerned about what you think of yourself. Too often we care more about a stranger's opinion of us than our own. Your opinion of yourself begins on the inside with your character. What do you believe in, and are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. And I'm going to read this one more time. It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. And as I always say at the end of the show, my dad said to me all the time, be a leader, not a follower. Well, I'm going to bring Rainer in a moment, but first I want to give you some information on this gentleman. Number one, he's a Highland Games competitor and strongman, and he did something on Facebook, and he can correct me. I don't remember if it was last weekend or the weekend before for his birthday. It was very impressive. Heavy squats, pressing the same bar overhead, dumbbell presses, and the sledgehammer work was incredible. I mean, to watch him just keep going and going and going. Very impressive stuff, because I said to Rainer before we came on live here, It's just even like doing the overhead squat, things like that. You know, we talk about dips, pullovers, all of the older stuff. You don't, and maybe it does exist in places like we do here, but it's far and few between what's shown. And, you know, I just started doing the Jefferson lift again, just things like that. They're all man makers. So, Raynor, welcome back, brother. Happy New Year. Good to have you back on board, sir.
Thanks, Eric. It's good to be part of your program again.
Well, you are. Your family, like everybody else, and you know, as I said, we are glad to have you here. Anything I missed on your bio, give it out, and let's catch everybody up where you are right now, and we'll go from there, please.
All right. Well, it was pretty close, the things you told. It was the Highland Games. I got my pro card this year. It works a little different in Europe than it works in America, because in America, when you take money, prize money at your competition, you automatically turn pro.
Yep.
And in Europe, at least is what I believe, in Europe it is depending on your accomplishments and achievements.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a chance because I ended up second at the Amateur World Championships, but I still got a chance to, because the year before there, I was doing pretty well as well. So they sent me an invite, and I can do pro games this year. So that's pretty awesome. This big leap forward.
Yeah, and congratulations on that. You know, I'll tell you, Raynor, one of the things I love about this show is the guests, our family. Folks like you bring exceptionalism here. And one of the big reasons why I'm so inspired by people like you is you inspire others for excellence. And I'm not going to get into the political end or any of that stuff, because we got too many good things to talk about here.
Sure.
With all the baloney going on, the world needs examples of all of us. And, you know, I always say this, whether you want to be a weightlifter or not, Highland Games, strongman, I don't care. We're just going to mash it all together today.
Yeah.
There's one thing that's very important is take what we tell you from here and plug it into anything you want in your life. And I promise you, everybody, you will be a success. So go ahead. I just wanted to throw that in because I think that, you know, anybody that's listened to the shows and have been tracking you and I when we're talking, every time you come on here, you've either won something, now you got your pro card, you're going after things. But go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, well, I decided this year, I just became 30, so that's why I did the video. It's nothing fancy or nothing special, because usually my training looks a little bit like that.
Yeah.
I just stay with the basic movements, and I try to find what's hard, you know?
Okay. Yep.
Everybody has strengths, everybody has weaknesses, and a lot of people do their strengths. So if they like pressing, they do presses. If they like squats, they do squats.
Yep.
If they like machine work, they do machine work, or arms, or I don't know what.
Yep.
But everybody seems to tend to work on their strengths.
Yep.
And how fun that is. I mean, the first 5 years of training, I did that as well, you know?
Yeah.
I neglected a lot of parts that should have been, you know, brought up a lot earlier. But these days, I just, or last couple of years, I've just focused on barbell movements.
Yep.
And of course, I have to do it because I train at home. But for training at home, I have a pretty good facility. I have about 100 square feet,
yep,
something like that, and just bars and a squat rack and everything I need, dirt blocks and kettlebells and everything I need, some stones to lift. So I can do pretty basic stuff, and I tend to find that all the things that are hard,
yep,
I really need to do them, you know, because they're not hard for nothing.
No.
They're hard because I'm not strong enough or they're hard because they're just good usable exercises.
Yeah, without a doubt. Let me ask you this though, about the three, the way you did them, because it was interesting. You know, with the squat and the press, and then the dumbbell work with the pressing, and then obviously the sledgehammer work. Is there a mythology to why you do it that way, or was that just something you put together for the day, or is that a set of movements that you run quite a bit with your strength training? Because I take it right now, you're still basically, what words do I want to use? You're still in off season, I take it, or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in off season from the end of September to early May.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So the games will start at around the first or the second weekend of May.
Those
are the first competition that are coming up. But
yep.
I'm still getting strength in at that point.
Okay, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
If I switch too early to in-season training, I'm going to lose my strength a lot. So at least that's what I believe.
Okay.
Of course, you have, elite shot putters and elite Highland Games athletes that are saying, well, you got to stop doing heavy strength training. And
yep.
They're right.
Yep.
But they're especially right when you have a base level strength.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about elite level shot putters. They almost all have a squat of 300 Ks, around 650, 700 pounds. A bench press at least 400 pounds or 500 pounds.
Yep.
So power cleans four 500 pounds. There's nothing unheard of. So if you have those type of strength levels, it's easier to say, well, we got to back off entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But what I believe is that I go in winter training. I put down my sports-specific training, like throwing and that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just once a week or once in 2 weeks, so that I don't lose too much technique, but just keen in on the heavy strength work, so to have a base to work with coming season.
Yeah.
And, the exercises I pick are usually I don't really a hypertrophy work.
Yep.
This time I did it with some dumbbells, you know, but usually I don't do it, and the sledge is just a killer.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it, it just takes you a couple of minutes and you're trashed.
Yeah, so absolutely.
As a cardio exercise, but I usually just do it more for the abdomen and
yep.
for the grip. So if you just let it go, it's not that heavy. But if you pick it up and put it with force down every time,
yeah,
it's just a good ab exercise and forearm exercise. Everything will burn and your lungs as well. So that's kind of great.
Yep.
If I take other training days, I will just focus on squats, front squats, overhead squats. Nothing fancy, just stick to fives, threes, sometimes mm-hmm. more. You know, just finish off with 20 or 30 rep squats just to, I don't know, just to test yourself sometimes.
Sure,
That all the things that I'm doing are entirely focused on throwing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the more the season will... You know, the more I'm coming to the competitions, everything has got to go that doesn't improve my throwing. So now I'm trying to build base strength, and I'm even doing some sandbag walks and some keg walks and some stone walks, sometimes some stone presses and all that stuff, just because I like it.
Yeah.
And it builds base strength, of course, and some farmer's walks and that stuff. But when I'm going in season, I don't have time and energy to keep that level up, you know?
But without a doubt, and you know something, you hit a couple things right on the head with me. Number one, I love how you call it abdominal work. I can't stand that word core, so overused, and you know, anything in that area is just, you want to strengthen the hell out of it. And then second of all, you made a great comment about the walking. I've talked about this on a lot of shows, especially with the sandbags, you know, we do that here in the stones and the farmers. But I think walking, this is just my, and I want you to comment on this, obviously, because you've got mega experience with this too. If I knew when I started out training, which, you know, it's a blessing and not, but it doesn't matter at this point. But I bring it all to any new clients. And when I tell you what I'm doing with my little nephew, it'll blow you out. If I knew what I knew about walking with implements now, that I would have known when I was 10 or 11 years old, I'll tell you right now, Raynor, I would have been absolutely devastating, I believe, with stones. I mean, I'm talking devastating. I think it's something people don't realize how strong you can get from head to toe. Now, we do a medley here. And you're gonna start seeing more of it because I'm working with this gentleman Dennis who's got to lose 71 pounds of fat basically. So I got to take him from 271 to 200 by June of this year. Then we're gonna have a special style of training we're gonna do, and it all depends on what happens with the business and if I can put together enough capital to be in Scotland with Martin Janzik this year, and he and I, and we might even invite people to go on a stone tour, and I'll get a chance to meet Charlie and Stevie and all these guys that I've talked to, which is pretty damn exciting. But I'll tell you right now, those three movements will turn anybody. I don't care how out of shape, and obviously we've got to be cognizant of endurance because we don't want to kill anyone, you know, with anything they do. And I mean literally kill someone that's out of shape. But I think the dividends of those three movements are anything you want to walk with any styles of distance, short ones, long ones, however you want to put it together, is fabulous. Now, my six-year-old nephew, Danny, has got good gene pools on both sides, and this little guy has been interested with his sister, Maggie, for years coming over here. And they've been around it, and when they come here, they'll be out in the yard with me flipping a 15-inch tire, carrying bricks for farmers' walks. I've taught them now a very simple way to build their grip. I have them squeeze overhand, underhand on a picnic table. And no push with this stuff. They come to me now. So when I go over there now, Danny's got dumbbells that his mom uses. And they're like 2.5, 5, and I think there might be a set of 10s. Always coming to me. You know, they all call me Uncle H. It's like, Uncle H, you got to see me do this. And I watch him. It's funny as hell with the facial contortions and all that. And then he puts it down, and I'll say, well, let me show you a couple things here. And I show him, and he carries it right out. Maybe he does it again, maybe he doesn't. So we're over at we were over at my niece's birthday it'll be 3 weeks today. And I hear all this noise coming up from the cellar because we're in the kitchen. And there he is dragging, it has to be half to almost three-quarters of a bag of rock salt. And he dragged them all the way from the cellar, up the stairs, into the kitchen. Now, he dragged this thing by the top, nothing carrying. And he comes in, he goes, look how strong I am. I was like, man, oh, man, you're impressive. I said, now I'm going to show you how to lift this thing. So we took it and folded it over. And I teach him how to straddle the bag. And by God, there he is lifting. And I'm like, boy, you talk about an uncle that was beaming from ear to ear. Well, now we're going to fast forward to 2 weeks ago to tomorrow. I go out and buy a 20-pound bag of sand, and I make an 8-pounder and a 12-pounder, you know, roll it up good in a big garbage bag, throw it in a burlap, and this thing's taped so tight, it would hurt you if it fell on the ground, on your foot. Well, there he is, and I bring this to him, and man, my sister sent a video, and that day I was there, he was doing it. This kid is on fire. Now, is he going to be on fire next week with it? I have no idea. But you know something? This is what I'm getting to with what we were just talking about. It's kind of long, but I wanted to explain it. Is if this little guy, through just a little bit of prodding or on his own, keeps doing this, it's going to be amazing. Because I say to him every time I see him, I'm like, Danny, when you're 13 years old, you're going to deadlift 500 pounds. You don't think that's resonating in his head every time I say that? And he's talking about it. So, to make a long story short, when you're talking about walking, I believe you are right on the money, because I'm not saying there aren't other movements that build you. We know we need the squat and something overhead and some type of pull. That's a given. That's a base product right there.
Sure. Look at the human body and what it's made for and what it can do. You know, it's fun if you can lift heavy stuff, you pull heavy stuff. But look at, strongman. Look at strongman, for instance. It's always a truck pull,
yep,
or a sled drag or something like that, you know? A farmer's walk. It's just part of being strong. It's just part of putting it all together, because everybody can do a seated press or a lying press,
yep,
or a squat from a Smith machine.
Yep.
But as long as you have to keep your body in balance, it just takes away all help, you know? It takes away all help from you. So you just have to do it.
Yep.
Or drop down, you know?
Well, and you know something? When we talk about walking with things, let's face it. You can't go heavy, heavy every time you go out there, because it's just not going to work out. But here's the thing I like about carrying, and I think this works perfect. Not only can you use carrying for recovery, but you don't have to go to the wall every time. And it's very beneficial because you are hitting head to toe. And I'll tell you right now, mentally and bodily, there aren't many things in training that feel better than bear hugging something and carrying it. And the idea of cleaning it off the ground or cleaning at different heights and levels. We do a thing here. We're going to do it today. Dennis will be over here at 9:15. He's never done this. This is one of the things I do to get ready for stone lifting. but we are going to use one of the Husa steel stones. He's going to walk a designated number of feet. Now, it's been snowing here again all night. We got 11 inches 2 days ago. The back of the driveway hasn't been cleaned purposely for this, because a lot of times when you clean it, it'll get too slippery and you fall and break your neck. You're in trouble. All right. Well, what we're going to do today, one of the things we're going to do today, is he's going to walk so many feet with the Husa steel, put it down. He's going to run back, or I'll have a sandbag designated right where it is. He'll pick the sandbag up, go the related amount of distance, Husa steel again. I have found this in my own experiences when I do this. It gets me in stone shape wicked fast. Now, I also vary the sandbags, and I can vary the stones, because I can make stones up with the steel ones from 80 pounds up to 600 pounds if I want. All right, so the ability to keep going back and forth, build the endurance, build the power. People don't realize what you'll become. You know, let's just say we got people here that are in relatively good shape, okay, and can handle the haul no matter what. I'm telling you right now, mark down 30 days from the day you start and work it twice a week and work in. What I'll do sometimes is I'll specialize on one weightlifting movement. So it'd probably be the dead stop squat. Work 3 days a week like that and tell me what you look like, feel, and how much stronger enduring you got, because it is phenomenal just in 30 days what you can do with that. Give me your comments on any of that.
Yeah, well, of course I agree. I mean, no training is complete without some form of sled dragging or farmer's walk or the stone carrying or something like it. Well, you said most people don't realize. I think a lot of people do realize, but people tend to use the things that are not that hard, you know? Machines, because they can use their phone and put some WhatsApps or Facebook or something and do some movements and get a great idea about themselves that they're moving. Well, we're not talking about most people that do recreational sports, you know?
Yep.
If we really look at people who want to perform better at their sport or better at weightlifting, they know what to do usually.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's an end-all, be-all, some form of training, but I'm just saying that because the fun stuff is, if you use barbells, they're made for lifting. So you can make certain areas of your body super, super strong, which you couldn't do with, for instance, sandbag or rock lifting, because there's always a limiting factor, like biceps, grip, arms, the awkwardness of the implement or something like that. But if you just make your body strong with the barbell lifts, test your endurance and awkward strength, I don't know how to explain it exactly, but just take a washing machine, for instance.
Yep.
It's not daily. You got to do it. But if you're real strong, you can pick it up, you know?
Yeah.
And there's guys that are pretty strong at the gym and can't pick it up. Why? Because they always tend to use the same exercises and never challenge themselves to say, hey, there's a stone, let's try to pick it up. Or, hey, there's a farmer's walk implements or a yoke or something strong related, let's try that. So, well, I think that CrossFit gyms nowadays, whatever you got to say about CrossFit, those movements are coming back. And walking with heavy weights, not that heavy, but least with weight. So that's good for a lot of people. They're recognizing the beneficial effects of doing stuff like that. So
yeah, without a doubt. And you know, like I look with Danny too. I mean, if I can get him without making him feel like I'm forcing him, it's going to be very, very interesting to see. Well, think about this. Think about if he starts learning how to really carry, and, you know, let's just say by summer he's up to, let's say even a 20-pound sandbag, and he's starting to be able to go 95 feet with it, and he keeps up with this. Can you imagine what he'll be by the time he's even 7 or 8 years old? You're going to see a pronounced difference in him. And the thing I like about that type of training is this. I think kids, especially nowadays, they need to be very confident and sure of themselves, and they don't get sucked into things that are no good for them, and I think they become more of a leadership. I know people say, well, he's only 6 years old. Well, I got news for you. Be around kids and see what they're really like. A lot of them haven't been ruined by, you know, media and all these other things around them. I watch them. boy, when they want to do something, man, they go right after it and do it. They don't sit around. You know, if they're going to draw or write or build, there's nothing stopping these kids. And this is what I try to tell people, and this is why I think where I have the edge with him is he's been around strength on both sides of the family his whole life, and he comes over here and sees it. And when he's with his dad up at the gym at school where he coaches, all these things, these have a pronounced effect on a child, sure. No matter how you want to do it. And the way I look at it is, if he'll let me and he's interested, during especially his formative years, I mean, he's got two great parents, obviously, but it's nice to have uncles and aunts that are involved in stuff, and it's somebody else you can go to with this stuff and learn from. It's a win-win for a child. And, you know, you see all these diseases now. We had Melody Schoenfeld on here, and she said she had a client, 12-year-old boy, he couldn't even bend his legs hardly to squat down. That is unacceptable, man. I understand if there's something wrong with you. I got it. But when you're able body and you're in that type of shape at 12 years old, we got a big problem, you know? So, you know, that's why I think these movements, yeah, I think a lot of them have been buried, and it is good. CrossFit's brought a lot of it back. But I think stuff like you and I do, I think we take it many more dimensions deeper. And my feeling is with this stuff that we do, and I've said this a million times, we can take anything we do when talking about a carry or anything like that. You don't have to carry 400 pounds. I could knock it down to 10 pounds for you, and you could be so productive. So this is why I think this type of training is not only so productive, but it's so beneficial to every facet of your life. But go ahead, comment on that, Raynor.
Well, I think it's just it's good for a lot of people to just try it and see where they're at. Just yep. Even if they're not a pro sport, a pro athlete, or serious ambitions on competition level or anything,
yeah,
it changes everything up. Yeah. It just shows you where you're at. If you thought you were in good shape, oh, pick up a sandbag and have a good go at it and see what shape you're really in.
Yeah.
I mean, mental toughness, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can't pick it up because it keeps sliding. You know, hey, I got to work on my grip. And you can do that in the gym, you know.
Absolutely.
It's just also a good decider or a good indicator to see where you're at, you know, the things you got to work on.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff I like, especially with stone lifting, because, I mean, a keg, everybody carries it. If you work in a bar or something,
sure,
there's a big chance you got to replace a keg. And you know how heavy it is.
Oh, yeah.
But in a big stone. When would you lift up a big stone? When I was about 6 or 7, like your cousin?
Yeah.
I was about 6, 7, 8 years old. I would throw pebbles, try to throw bigger rocks, try to lift an even bigger rock, you know?
Yep.
It just speaks to the imagination.
Yep.
And you
Absolutely.
See a big rock lying down there, and I think it has to do with people growing up, you know? They think they can't do it anymore. And I think child in me still wants to pick up the big rock and see how strong I am.
Hell
not
yeah.
Compared to somebody or something, but just compared to myself.
I agree.
See a stone and just, could I lift it or not? Could I lift it or not? I mean, last year I was at holiday in South Africa,
mm-hmm.
Doing a road trip for about 3 weeks, and we went to the Indian Ocean, and there was a lot of big rocks. So I haven't had a training in about 2 weeks.
Yep.
First thing I saw was all the stones. I said, darling, you have a walk on the beach. I'm going to lose myself for at least an hour. So,
yeah.
And after that, I took a dive in the ocean after some Husafell carries and overhead presses. And it was just amazing, you know.
Yeah.
I don't need anything. I just took my shoes off, put the heavy stones up, and I was just done. I had a good workout, nothing needed. So I like that very much about it. It's just primal.
It is. And you know what? You don't need a gym. You don't have to pay gym fees, and you're out there where you belong, out in the open air, lots of energy surrounding you, and you go and do what you want to do. And that to me is more productive than going somewhere where you really don't want to be. You're in a controlled environment. You're probably around a lot of people you wouldn't associate with, and it's just no good for you to do what you need to do to make the gains you want to make, whether you want to lose weight, you want to get stronger, whatever it is you want to do, because you and I both know atmosphere is everything. I mean, if you don't have the proper people around you or the area to train, it definitely sucks the life out of you. And I think a lot of people need to realize that, too. That's why you see so many dropouts when they go to a gym, because, you know, it just doesn't work for them, or whoever's trained them, you know, it's not working anymore, or there's nobody that can come up with these fresh ideas. Because you and I both know the majority of gyms are just like assembly lines, and they bring people in, they plug in the same program. If it works, great. If it don't, hey, I got my money. You know, the majority of them are going to drop out, and we move on to the next team. So what we're talking about here, especially when you're saying you're on holiday, you're lifting stones, your wife's out taking her walk, you're happy as hell, you dive in the Indian Ocean, and away we go with another chapter in your life. And these are things that are very simple, but overlooked by a lot of people. And as I say with anything I do with anybody or myself, simplicity is the key, man, because it will not only make you productive, it will have a much higher survival weight in what you, you know, survival rate in what you do. This is what interesting. You're saying that Husafell stones. Now, did you just, you and some of your buddies, or did you do it? Did you just pour a stone you were talking about?
Yeah, I poured a stone myself.
Okay, so tell me about it.
I did it about a year ago, and I just decided I want at least 300 pounds.
Yep.
So I just put the amount of bags that made about that number.
Yep.
Put some rebar in it, and put some extra extra weights in there as well. So
yep.
I am about, I think it's about 320, 340, something like that.
Okay, okay.
So, and I just poured it, took a couple of days and put it out, and was happy as a little kid. So,
Rainer, you built a frame, a wooden frame, I take it, for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of things you can find on the internet. So, just the dimensions I transferred from the metric to the metric system.
Yep.
And just screwed some together. I had some old boards lying down and some plastic.
Yep.
Just put the cement in and some rebar. Don't forget
yep.
the rebar.
Yep.
Because your stone will break.
Yeah, it will. You have to have that strengthening factor.
Yeah.
And like yourself, I was telling Melody yesterday, because she's a very small girl and she lifts Atlas stones. And I said to her, I know from when we buy the molds that what we did, obviously rebar for the strengthening factor, but if we wanted to keep that size dimension of the stone, and you can only go so far with it, we would take a loading pin, put it on the inside, obviously, of the mold, and load it with 10-pound plates and do it like that. So you can take, actually, if they rate the size of that, let's say it weighs 120 pounds. Well, you know, you can put as many 10-pound plates on
yeah.
that loading pin. Well, you can take a 100-pound, 120-pound stone and turn it into a 200, 210, which is amazing. So anybody that has had issues like that with grabbing it because maybe they aren't real big in stature, that's a way you can do it. We did
yeah.
the same thing with the Husafell stones here we made out of cement. I've got 100-pound plates in the one that weighs like 430. It's a beast. The only thing that I had to do with it, because I was getting cut so bad with it, is
yeah.
you have to take a grinder and grind the cement. I don't know if – did you run into that at all?
Well, I noticed on some stones that I saw that was pretty – you could bruise your forearms. So, well,
yep.
that's not a big problem. The only thing is that you can't train it off regularly if you injure yourself and get
I
cut
agree.
And stuff
yep.
like that. So
yep.
it'll get infected. And well, you just got to watch that. But I noticed that. And the thing I did was put there's a vibrating device that can put the air bubbles out.
Yep.
Well, I didn't use that, but I just used a stick and used a similar thing like that and used a drill on the side. So because of all the vibrations, the air bubbles will turn out. And after
okay.
that, I lifted up the plastic as much as I could. So on one side, it's all smoothed out. It's just smooth like butter.
Yeah.
Only one side is very, very edged, you know,
yep,
and the other
yep.
side is just smooth like butter. So the smooth side, I'll just put my arms around and there is no problem.
Absolutely. Because you...
Now, a friend of mine is welding one.
Oh,
so
great. Great.
Done. And I think it's going to weigh about 230 empty.
Oh, okay. Yep, yep.
And he has made a big hole on top. I could screw it closed with a lid on it, and I just put a chains and fan and shot and everything on what I can put in it. So I've designed it to be capable of being more than 420, 440. So yeah, that'd be nice. But if I train with friends, you know, sometimes friends come over to train, and not everybody can just lift a 400-pound stone up the floor.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
It's easier if you can, I don't know, just start with a 220-pound stone and just go from there, you know?
Well, I agree, because that's why we built the crusher, and that thing weighs, I think it's about 100 pounds out of the box, but it has the same dimensions of the Icelandic stone like the other three do. The reason why I did that is because normally the first one and the second one, I think they weigh in at like 150 and 185 empty. But the thickness of the stone, a lot of times, you know, especially if you haven't lifted a lot, this thing's a bear to even try to wrap and hold, you know, to squeeze to get up. So I went with the smaller weight of the stone, you know, initially, and the same dimensions, because I train kids, I want to be able to pick this thing up and use it. Women too, and I felt, you know, once we start releasing, and we're speaking to a company right here that's only a few hours away, I'd like to see if we can get a prototype that I designed, built, and, you know, potentially down the road to be able to market it, because I think that, you know, we've stirred a lot up about it, and there's a lot of people always inquiring, and how come you're not selling them? Well, you have to find a fabricator, number one, and number two, they are not cheap to make, let alone ship. I mean, you want to get, and that was one of the reasons why we did the crusher like that, because, you know, think about it. I've had stones brought here on an 18-wheeler truck. It costs a lot of money. You know, they've got to put them on something to hold them down, obviously. There's an awful lot that goes into it. So you could end up, let's just say the stone's $400. Well, you could be talking $250 in shipping. So, you know, these are the things I'm trying to be cognizant of if we end up doing something like this, because, you know, if you need it around my area, I'll deliver it to you. But yeah, if you're hanging out in, let's say, Oregon, that might present a little bit of a problem. So you got to try to do things that will work and, you know, and still have the same strength in the stone, the same dimensions. That smaller one out there, I haven't filled it all the way, but I am almost positive that stone can go to 450. And let's be honest with each other. How many people are lifting a 450-pound stone and walking it for distance?
Not a lot.
And there's nothing wrong with that either. But everybody says to me, well, is it going to hold a lot of weight? I'm like, geez, man. With the plate trees I got on each. Go ahead.
Talk further. Yeah.
Well,
just try to walk with 300 pounds.
Yeah, well, try to clean it off the ground. You might, you might leave your arms on it when you pull away from it. It's, you know, the thing with this, Raynor, is this. This stuff is no walk in the park, no matter how strong you are. But second of all, this isn't something that you made the perfect, you know, obviously the comparison. Barbells are made to be lifted. They're balanced, especially if you go out and buy an Alico bar or anything good out there. They are now, I'm not saying that they're easy to do. That's not what I'm saying. But you have much more balance, and you have calibrated plates if you're going to go that route. Now, you walk up and tag a big beast of a steel stone, a river stone, a sandbag. That's going to test every piece of you, and believe me when I tell you that. So that's why I did the stuff with the loading parts on the top. You know, we ran these big carriage bolts through it, and this way it would alleviate having to stop and fill it with shot if it was too light. So I think I can get 9 10-pound plates on each side. So do the math. You got 180 pounds you can put on the top of that with whatever you got in. Now, you got to be careful with things like that, because then they get top heavy too. But the nice thing is this.
That's pretty good for back, though.
Hell yeah, man, because think about it. All right, say we're going to – the plan is we're going to do a 250 today. We end up picking it up and say, geez, that feels too damn light. Well, you know what we do? We can start scaling it up to 300, maybe 315, set a new record for the day. You know, when you can put fives, two and a halves, tens on it, one and a quarter. Let me tell you, you know, that's how I like to do things with the dead stop stuff. I could go 90-pound jumps, 90-pound jumps, and then suddenly I'm like, now I'm only going to do a 20-pound jump. And your mind and your body's like, what the hell just happened here? And, you know, you launch it right up, and then you scale it back up. Maybe you throw 50 on the next time. I do the same thing with the stones. It is a hell of a way to build yourself like a madman like that. You can become so proficient with things. And what I try to do then, you know, you talked about putting the center on where you can do things. Well, we do the same thing here. I have outside apparatus where I can hang that stone from this huge toe chain. So I can go and lift it at a certain height, and if I get caught or I can't do it, let my arms off it, the chain swings it, and it goes nowhere. No way to get hurt. Same thing when we do the stuff in the rack, when I design that piece to pull off of for partials at any height, just put it back down and you're safe as hell. So the ability to do all types of things with these stones is absolutely awesome. Now, let me ask you this, because we're coming up on time, and we'll get you back next month. With all the off-season training, do you got a favorite? Is it the stones you're into now, or what are you into right now that you tell everybody out there? So if there's a movement or two that you would say, hey, no matter what you're doing, get into these two and push them. What would you say to that, Raynor?
Well, it's okay. Hard. It's very hard for me to say that because I really have exercise I like to do. I like the Olympic lifting. I like the heavy powerlifting movements.
Yep.
I would say just take the movement
that
involves a barbell with some heavy weight and take the movement you normally don't want to do because you find it too heavy and do that exercise.
That makes sense to me.
That was my best tip for you.
No, yeah. And it makes sense because obviously you, I, and everybody else does a vast array. Being I live in the Northeast and we're finally getting winter, what I would tell people to do if you need a break from what you're doing, go out and grab a bit, build yourself multiple sandbags if you don't have them, and hopefully it's nice and snowy here that we're going to go out and attack in a couple hours. Go out and do some walks, do some straddling, bring it to shoulder, and do some step-ups for a while. You want to get big and strong and leaned out or whatever you want. There's three movements that'll knock your socks right off you. And especially if you want to get into something like that for a long period of time to work with your barbell work, you will be one damaging piece of material out there. And as you see us with Dennis, what I'm going to be doing, you're going to see a lot of stuff here you've never seen before, including rack work. So, you know, stay tuned. But anything you want to give, you know, if you want to add anything, if not, give out any information you got. Let me give mine out and hang on the line, and we'll set something up for next month, please.
All right. Well, I was thinking of something but just forgot it. So I think we have to do that
okay.
Next time.
Okay. That's fair enough.
I'll be online and just wait.
Okay.
All right.
You got? Do you want anybody to be able to get a hold of you, or do you got anything else that you want to convey?
Well, it would be nice to have Francis Brebner or Ryan Vieira on. That would be nice.
I'd love to have him on, man. Whatever you want to do, we'll do it. All right. Well, this is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. All I can say to you is go out there, download the two ebooks. You all know what they are. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. Go out and look at all our podcasts. They're all out there. Also, too, everybody knows I'm asking for donations to the show. It's a big nut. We're in the middle of a ton of stuff we're getting ready to release. We are doing everything we can to keep this show up and running. So if you like this, you can go out and contribute to Patreon as little as a dollar per show, or if you want to send anything monetarily, you can do that through PayPal at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. We'd appreciate anything you can do, because we give out a ton of free content where most people charge for it, and I never want to get to that point to be able to support this show, because it costs a lot of money, and we are doing everything we can to make this place a monster of a company. So stay with us, and anything you can contribute would be very much appreciated. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. We've gotten that from everybody. Anybody that has the ability to get the show in their car, and any new cars do, go out to AHA. That's a high directory, bringing motivation and muscle into your car 24/7. I guarantee you'll love that. I'll leave you with all this stuff. Obviously, too, if there's a show you like Raynor and I to do together, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give people inspiration. 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, flip it, squat it, push it, press it, pull it, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. And as I always say, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been with Eminem from the beginning and has been a guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for the next 28 years or longer, Russell, and we thank you for that compliment. Frank Klein, my greatest college professor in business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, who we lost to cancer almost 3 years ago. He used to walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself and not smile. John was a man who was very instrumental in pushing me with this business. I used to go over every Friday afternoon, no matter what, and I miss those days. But I know John would be very proud of me for carrying on his legacy like that. And besides those three men and my brother Jimmy, they are constantly revolve in my mind every day. So I thank everybody that we had helping us, and I miss all of you. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot through it. Join our family. Join our revolution. We are going to give you the best 28 years of your life, I promise you. And if you have children and you listen, bring your children in and listen to this. We've cleaned the language up. We want to get everybody on board here. This is my mission, and I believe everybody that's associated with the show definitely believes the same things on those lines, with kids and anybody that wants to get into this great, great thing we call physical strength. Before we sign off, Les Brown, the great Les Brown, says you all have greatness in you. We'll take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. Not many people we'll do that for you nowadays in today's world, but we believe in it, and we believe in you. Raynor, happy new year, sir. Obviously, continued success, and it's great to have you back, and we'll set something up again and get you back here, and we'll continue and have a great 2017, sir.
Thanks a lot. I wish the same back for you, too, your program and your business. You're doing a mighty, mighty fine job. So
thank you, sir. Well, with support with people like you and people that believe in me and the business, I can't convey to you what that means to me. And I try to say that to everybody, because without people like you, we're dead in the water. It's not just me here. It's the continued effort of everybody. And I thank you for that. So everybody, not only have a great weekend, but go out and do something monumental. You've heard what we've talked about today. You see both of us here. We're constantly climbing and clawing to get better. And how can't you if you don't take some of what we've talked about today and plug it into your own life? So, for Rainer Wartell, this is Eric Fiorello. We will have him on. I'm hoping we can get him on next month when I get him on here regular. Have a great weekend. Go out and do something great, and let us know. We're interested. We want you to be part of our family. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.